Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Chima Chance Foot, the season finale, the ting done. All right, the year has finished. Liverpool lost the UEFA Champions League final 1-0 to Real Madrid. In Paris, there was a lot of issues regarding the start of the game, police and fan interaction. And just want to send, we do have international listeners, so if anyone was involved, I hope you all are safe and good to go. Liverpool, we came out, got to jump right into the Champions League. We came out and we gave it to them pretty consistently from the off. You know, I was in Richmond, Virginia. This pod was going to involve others, but I wanted to give a deep dive myself and, you know, shout out to Troy, Brandon, Sam, good man. He was nice enough to host your boy, and it was a great atmosphere, so I want to say that. I think it's important to watch finals amongst brethren if you can, or just amongst places where you can pay attention and analyze the game, because more often than not, finals are not entertaining football matches. Both teams want to do enough to win, but not so much that they jeopardize losing. And if we're looking at the first half, you know, there was a time, there was a graphic in, like, I don't know, the 45th minute, either just before or just after halftime, and it was zero shots for Real Madrid. Liverpool, we had 7 or 8 shots at that point. Plenty of chances, plenty of attempts. I think sometimes in football, if you get the first goal while you're the most fresh, goals change games, right? So whoever, there are certain finals where they say whoever grabs the first goal is going to win it. And that's exactly how I felt about this one. Liverpool go close with several chances. Sadio Mane hits the post after Thibaut Courtois tips his effort just slightly to the left, to the right. He was obviously immense in goal. I think that, you know, that's the advantage of having a goalkeeper that's above 6'3". Obviously, Alisson being a unit in there himself. You know, you always get a chance to take up more of the goal. And Courtois, he looked huge in there. And obviously, he was man of the match. Shot after shot, attempt after attempt. There were decent chances. But if I'm honest, I can't say that they were gilt-edged chances that Liverpool had. I can't say that there was a bunch of chances that we should have scored that we didn't. We had a lot of shots, but they weren't the most dangerous of opportunities. And with a team like Real Madrid, I was commenting to the gentleman there, with a team like Real Madrid, what they want to do is lull you into a bit of a false sense of security. And they also want to absorb as much as possible, almost to tire you out. And that's exactly what happened. You know, Liverpool were pressing, were pressing, were pressing. And I think if we would have got that goal, like I said, Sadio effort off the post, or one of the many efforts we had, I think that goal would have given us something to build off of. And I think it would have given us just a chance to get our noses in front and just get a lot of resolve. And I think going in 0-0, Real Madrid is very confident. You know, Carlo Ancelotti's tactic of, you know, keeping Luka Modric basically as a defensive midfielder / center back at times, it was bizarre. And what that meant in the first half was we had a lot of control in midfield, and we honestly dominated the midfield. You know, we ran the midfield in the first half. If you think about a lot of our attacks, we weren't, you know, we didn't have to bypass a holding mid and a number 8 or anything like that. It almost felt like we could build up all the way to the final third and let Trent have it and begin our attacking phases. But after the first half ends, and of course the second half begins, it's more of the same. Liverpool are attacking, but gradually it's the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. Gradually, Real Madrid, almost like if anybody's ever played any type of game before, there are certain enemies where it maybe if you hit them at the wrong time, they can absorb that, and like T-1000, absorb that, form into it and use it against you, something like that. That's what Real Madrid was doing. They absorbed a lot of our attacking impetus, and they began to build methodically and slowly, basically like the San Antonio Spurs under Greg Popovich. They were never great to watch, per se. I don't want to do them a disservice, but, you know, they were never great to watch. Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, but they were really fundamental and they were always difficult to stop because Tim Duncan's going to get this 12-foot shot 85% of the time. It's just, he's just a machine there. And that's sort of how Real Madrid was. They were clicking into gear ever so slowly. And eventually, of course, the matchup that I was most, you know, trepidatious of, and maybe this is the media bias creeping in, but Vinicius versus Trent, you know, they have a goal that gets disallowed. That's VAR checked. I mean, talking about, they must have checked every inch of this goal, micro scanned everything because it took forever. But that ball to Vinicius over the top, it was starting to become more and more fruitful as maybe Trent tired or as maybe we pressed up in search of that goal. The entire game, talking about their end, that's when Casemiro really stepped into, you know, Casemiro really just stepped into the midfield and just took control of it. It was classic Real Madrid. Benzema and Vinicius, they essentially, you know, I made the comment of, all they do is talk to one another. You know how maybe during like a throw-in or an off moment or even a clearance upfield, defenders will come and have a chat, you know, and talk about what they're doing and give directions, whatever. All Benzema was doing was talking to Vinicius. At halftime, they're walking off together. They come onto the field together. And at every single break in play, they're talking to one another. And that was because they were essentially playing a two-man game of Benzema being a real number nine, kind of like this floating number nine and a half because he got a little deep. Get the ball, and I would always say, don't let him turn. Because once he turns, he's able to find somebody. Modric is going to be there, maybe Casemiro, Valverde. And they're able to kind of knit that together, and they want that ball over the top. Vinicius one-on-one with Trent. And they started to get it. And of course, it happens. The goal is essentially us losing possession. And what Liverpool's defense is a great defense. And the statistics bore that out. But Van Dijk is guilty of this a lot. They'll kind of invite the shot on just a bit instead of challenging and pressing. And with a team like this, you're going to want to close that ball down. The ball is worked back post. I believe it's Valverde drills. To be fair, a very Trent-esque low-driven cross for the FIFA ballers. They'll know what's up with that low-driven cross. That low-driven cross is played in, and then of course, here comes Vinicius back post. Trent is napping. You know, love the guy, but he's napping, and I think that them scoring in the exact fashion that they would have liked to score, it just reinforced the Real Madridness of Real Madrid, for lack of a better term. It simply gave them, okay, so our system is working. Excellent. And at the end of the day, you know, I have to tell people football heritage is a real thing. It's a real thing, man. And, you know, despite what, you know, the club attached to the kingdom of Spain, of course they're going to do well, you know, despite them having that backing through 100 years, they're putting it together. You know, Luka Modric just ran the show. Courtois was incredible. Fabinho was good, but Casemiro is just a step above. You know, I would love to see us pursue another defensive mid to compete with Fabinho as well, even though one of my favorite players on the squad. It's just Casemiro is that elite level. He's bringing the ball forward. He's doing what he had to do. Dani Carvajal, you know, playing for at least a decade plus. And we simply could not match them once that goal happened. Mo Salah has an opportunity. Diogo Jota ends up coming on. Firmino ends up coming on, and I really think that the game was crying out for Firmino. And really quickly on Konate, he also started. I would have went with Joel Matip. I don't know if it might have been an injury, even though this is his most healthy season. I would not have started Konate, even though I liked the guy, even though I thought he played decent. I just would have preferred that that center back pairing of Virgil and Matip, I just trusted so much at this point. But I thought that the game was crying out for Firmino maybe 15 minutes before he came on. But at the Champions League final, you know, you gotta, your substitutions mean everything. But Firmino comes on and we fashion opportunities. Mo has a great effort that an inch or so higher is going to go up to the left-hand corner. And that would have been fantastic. You know, Mo is doing a lot of talking before the game, which I'm not necessarily a fan of, just because, you know, you're talking about we have unfinished business, we're getting revenge. Yeah, that sounds good, but now you didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? And now you're looking like a bit of a mug because you haven't scored a non-penalty goal in a lot of finals. You know, that's a fact. But that's kind of what it is. A part of me is saying, like, you know, this is Real Madrid. You know, they do this Champions League thing. You know, they have an incredible squad, even though people say it's aging. I mean, Cruz, Casemiro, Modric, I knew exactly what was coming when I saw that midfield. That's Real Madrid's winning midfield. You know what I mean? This game is important. We're putting out all the old hands, you know. I thought the ref was terrible, honestly. You know, there were so many times where Liverpool players, Madrid players came through the back of Liverpool players. And, you know, the ref was just bizarre. And that was, I think, the Belgian ref. I was like, yeah, I like this ref. He's smart. So it made me look foolish as well. Cheers. But the ref was really bad. Militao was grabbing all over Liverpool players. I mean, two hands at one point, piggyback ride style, for lack of a better descriptor, and no calls. And I don't know. It's hard to call. It's hard to go against Real Madrid. You know, I don't want to say that, you know, the Liverpool fans not being able to get in until right, essentially at kickoff, played a part. Who knows? That's between the football authorities that were there and the fans who were there as well, you know. But it's pretty obvious that Liverpool fans were not able to get in. So the entire Real Madrid end is packed and Liverpool essentially, you know, it's just psychological. You want to get in there. You want to sing. You want to put the banners up. Those are all things that you want to do. You want to, it's like if you're an athlete, you want to get into a lather. You want to do a little sweating, a warm up. It's important. But you know, that being as it may, it was not great to lose. You know, this is a club built on trophies. And plus, you know, I just knew the amount of hate that Liverpool were going to get for winning two trophies. I imagine it's like Arsenal fans have the nerve to discuss anything. And I'm just like, ugh, we live in this Reddit, football Twitter, banter culture as soon as a team loses, and I'm guilty of it to a degree. I don't overdose, because it's like, hey man, one day it's you, so today it'll be me, tomorrow it'll be you. So it's a cyclical thing for me. But man, it's like immediate trolling and just a bunch of like weird stuff. But Arsenal fans are piping up, Chelsea fans are piping up, Manchester City fans are piping up, and I'm like, yeah. So a lot of those clubs I've mentioned haven't done the double, but once in their entire history. You get what I'm saying? They haven't even achieved this feat, but once or twice in their entire history. And then somehow when we do it, it's a disappointment. No, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, an Arsenal fan, your team has never won a single European trophy. Chelsea, your team didn't exist before 2004. So it's like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, the Premier League, the sad part is, for 30 years, we just didn't have money. We didn't have money. Otherwise, we would have won titles as well in the Premier League era. You know, that's just what it was. But yeah, man, two trophies, incredible scenes from the parade, which was cool. It was cool. And, you know, that parade it's awesome. The city's out. It's plenty of people. Is it the Champions League parade? No, but that's a different psychological level, right? You can't compare anything to a Champions League parade. Just ask an Arsenal fan what a Champions League parade feels like. All right. So it's not that, but it is a damn good time. The boys are having a good time. Jurgen's having a good time. And that's how I think the season should end. Now we can go ahead and put a bow on that, and let's do some quick hitters. Okay. Sadio Mane, he's pretty much gone. Fabrizio Romano, who is essentially what they call a tap-in merchant, he confirms the stories that when he says it, it's almost 99% confirmed. And essentially, it was a bit of, hey, you all are not paying Sadio Mane. He's like the 10th or 11th highest paid player on the team. And, you know, he knows that. I don't blame him. 6 years, he's won every trophy. You know, it's time for him to seek pastures anew. And to be fair, he's done a lot for the club. He is a Liverpool legend. He's one of our top ones, if we're being honest. But his form before his recent moving to the center, which I think prolonged his career, because wherever he's going to play, he may continue there. But he did have about a bad year and a half of form. It wasn't looking like the Sadio Mane of old. So never going to be unappreciative of what he did. I remember his very first game, you know, when he came in those black kits, and he scored that banger. You know, Sadio Mane is a dog. You know what I mean? So we always big him up, you know, on the CCF here. We always shout out Sadio Mane, Liverpool legend. But Bayern, please get that 30 million euro offer off the table. Sadio needs to go for anywhere from 45 to 50. So that's that. Put a bow on that. Quick header number two. Liverpool's attack for the past 3-4 months. It's not maybe the past 3 months. It just has looked a little ragged, you know, like a little forced, a little labored. And maybe that's coincided with Mo Salah's form and taking a nosedive. But like, it didn't feel like we were going to score in that game. You know, Luis Diaz was incredible when he's come in. He's had some incredible games, but I think he looked a bit burnt out, you know, and he was rightly substituted when Jota came on the pitch. He looked burnt out. I don't know how else to say it. He didn't play well. And that's the thing. Without him coming to jumpstart this attack, you know, we don't win those cups, you know, and he's been huge. But I definitely feel like he has, I don't know, he's maybe been running a bit into the ground. So put a bow in that. And then, all right, so where are Liverpool? What do we need? I think that with the departure of Sadio Mane and probably another one or two players, we're going to have to get serious. You know, we need cover at center midfielder, defensive Fabinho cover. We definitely need to sign a big name attacker to replace Sadio. And we need a backup attacker. I'm always a favorite of the veteran option or the young Damari Gray-esque player who knows he's not going to play a bunch, but can come on, make an impact. Usually a younger player hungry for minutes. But like I said, Liverpool, Carabao Cup champions. I almost said Carling Cup. You see that? That's history. Carabao Cup champions, FA Cup champions, 90-something points in the league this year. And football really has to decide, you know, do you want teams like City and Chelsea and now Newcastle, right? And almost in Real Madrid, to be honest, and Barcelona. They're poorly managed, but they have all sorts of money. Do you want teams to continue to be able to buy football? Because let's be honest, Man City win the parade. Nobody cares. Nobody even talks about it anymore. It's a nothing achievement. Or do you want football merit? I don't want to be a snob. I don't want to be a purist. But at the end of the day, I mean, damn. Jack Grealish is parading the trophy. This guy cost $158 million for 5 league goals. City bought him so no one else would. But if you could spend 80% of the league's entire transfer budget on one player that you don't even need to play, who's still good, by the way. He's still a good player. That is harmful for the league and harmful for football in general. You know, so Liverpool need to invest in the squad, though. You know, we're not paupers. This isn't Little Sisters of the Poor, like my coach used to say. We got money. We spend money. We spend it the wisest, the smartest, but we're still a big club. And we're going to need to do that to compete. Conte, he's going to be ready next year. Mikel Arteta, Legohead, he's going to be ready for the fourth-placed Arsenal Cup. He's going to be raring to go for that fourth place. But Chelsea, that Frankenstein team, they're probably going to spend another $100 million. You know, who knows, right? Who knows what the American owners are going to do? So my point is everybody's going to retool, and we need to tool up as well. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, like a fine wine, the season has aged to its final ember. I want to thank everybody around the world, Japan, Nigeria, Ghana, Brazil, France, United Kingdom, Nigeria. I said Nigeria twice, but yeah, we do have international listeners. I want to thank everybody. I'll see you soon. Not too soon, but soon. Peace. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. I'm out.